And we have two good, great guests for you tonight. Topic, Recovery House Living. The two gentlemen I asked, Joe Nardi on my right, Matt on my left, they are two guys that came through the Recovery House process, and they're living examples of how that structure works in our lives. So let's get right to the questions. You could also call in, and that number is 609-241-7103 if you have any questions for my guests, and feel free. So,
here we are.
Here we are. Would you like to say hello?
I did already.
Oh, okay.
Good to be here.
Yeah. We're excited tonight.
Yes, we are.
We are excited. Yes. This is a great show.
I woke up this morning, John.
Yeah, I could see that.
And I'm still awake.
Good. That's good. It's a big thing for him to be awake at 8:30 at night.
Yo, keep that a secret. Oh, no secrets. Oh.
So what we're going to do is ask you guys some questions and you share your experience on, you know, how your life was, what happened, and, you know, your Recovery House experience. So, Matt, what was it like when you first came in the Recovery House?
Good evening, everybody. It's a great day to be in recovery, and coming into recovery, it was a scary thing. It, I didn't know what was going to happen, you know what I mean? I had doubts, and, it was an opportunity to get some structure back in my life to help build my family back up and friendships, everything that I had lost due to my addiction. It's given me an opportunity to, to become a man that I knew I could become all along.
And what had happened leading up to that, Matt?
My life became unmanageable, man. I was using drugs really bad. I became hopeless, I live a lifestyle of crime and drugs, and once I came into this process and surrendered, I started to make some changes in my life.
Nice.
Where'd you come from, Matt?
I grew up in Southwest Philadelphia, and
nice neighborhood.
It was a little diverse in growing up, and it was challenging growing up. It, I came from lower class, you know what I mean? There was a lot of drugs and alcohol with the family, a lot of fighting, a lot of, a lot of, like, I kind of felt like abandoned when I was a kid, once I found drugs and alcohol, I found like I found my escape from reality.
Did you think you were a product of your environment, or did you think you had a disease?
Kind of from like an early age, I kind of thought that, like, because my mother and father were, using drugs and alcohol, that, that I was going to have a problem with them. At an early age, I was introduced to recovery, and I kind of knew, like, early on, like, I had problems. Like, I had problems before the drugs and the alcohol were even in my life. So it was tough.
Okay. It's not tough anymore, is it?
Nah, life's easy today, I'm not living in a fantasy world,
Good, man. Good. I'm happy to hear that, man. A success just for today. Joey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ken?
Good, good. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you came from and how you got there and what you did and how you feel today?
All right. Well, I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia in an Irish Catholic family. I didn't really come from, didn't necessarily come from money, but family certainly wasn't poverty stricken by any means. I mean, I had a pretty good childhood, but I guess I always, like, coming up, I always felt like I had, like, something missing, you know what I mean? Almost like I had to prove myself to others.
Yeah.
In order to fit in. And like, that escalated with the drug use, because, like, Matt, like, kind of what Matt had touched on, I thought I had found the answer to, like, a lot of things, right? And it quickly escalated into, like, a life of crime and violence, and it really went hand in hand. And then, like, some of our literature, like, it talks about, like, getting to that point of desperation.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until that point was I willing to even ask for help, to even try to get better in any way, shape, or form. You know what I mean? And once that time had set in, I had reached out to somebody, and I ended up in a recovery house in Levittown. And it was probably, like, the best thing that ever happened to me. Like, I believe that it saved my life.
So are you kind of saying, like, desperation became a gift?
Absolutely. Because at least for somebody, like, I like to only speak about, like, my personal experience, but, like, up until that point, because, like, a lot, like, along with desperation, like, many things had came along with that word, like, the hopelessness had came along with that word, like, and a lot of other things followed suit, and, like, I was desperate to get out of what my life had become. And the only answer I had to any of that up until that point was drugs. And at that point in time, though, I was able to see, like, that the one thing that I thought was my escape, that one thing I thought that was my answer, was really the thing that was destroying my life. But I still didn't know how to get away from it. So once that point of desperation had set in, and, like, a lot of people that I know and that I hang around with like to call it a gift. Mm-hmm. Because up until that point, I wasn't ready. And once that point had come, I became willing.
Wow, that's good. What do you think, Johnny?
That's impressive. What are you two? How are you two guys? Are you? How is your relationship? Are you guys friends?
Yeah, we're dear friends.
Okay.
Yes, very close friends.
What happened to you the first night you got there to your recovery house?
The first night I was at my recovery house, I believe the first night I was there, I'm trying to remember, I believe that's when I went to a meeting with some guys, and, some guys surrounded themselves around me, and I started to, like, identify with people and get some hope. You know, I was asked, I believe that's the time we went down AC, and I believe a few of us were there. A matter of fact, all of us were there. And, because of, like, my whole entire life, like, I was living inside of a bubble, you know. It only consisted of the area that I used drugs and alcohol. You know, I started, you know, getting outside of the box and experienced some things that I've never experienced before.
Matt is a guy that we affectionately known as Matty Ice. I don't know how he got that nickname.
Does that mean, like, he's a cold person?
No.
Man, the myth, the legend.
Man, the myth, the legend. That is a good one, Joe.
I like that. Yeah, that's good.
Let me ask you something about Atlantic City. Did you think that maybe that was a difficult place to go to because of what Atlantic City is known for, or... just a different road traveled? I mean, because that was early in your recovery, wasn't it?
Yes. Honestly, I didn't even think about the atmosphere of, like, Atlantic City. I thought of it like the recovery aspect. So, like, it didn't even, you know, I wasn't even thinking about, because everybody that I was with was, you know, in recovery and talked about recovery. The mention of them things didn't even come up. You know, about casinos or, you know, that kind of area.
Good. That's a modern day miracle, wouldn't you say, Johnny?
I would say.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Absolutely.
What's Nardi say?
About the AC trip?
just the overall process, I guess, you know, from point A to point B. I mean, you guys have become friends. You met in recovery.
There's actually there's a little bit of history to me and Matt. We go back quite a few years to another facility when I guess you could call, we both were having troubled times in our lives. Mm-hmm. I was having some difficulty with the Philadelphia court system at the time. I had gotten in some trouble with the law.
Oh,
and,
that could be trouble.
To say the least. And our paths kind of crossed when we were both at a state-run facility. And that was, I guess, in 2008. No, maybe 2007. It was going back quite a few years, and we were there for a few months together, and then we both kind of ended up taking our separate ways. Like the disease of addiction had taken me in my own personal direction. You know what I mean? And we ended up running into each other again in Levittown about 5 or 6 years later, and I think I had just celebrated about a year at the time, and Matt had like a few months under his belt. And we ran into each other, and we were talking about linking up, and then Matt kind of did like a disappearing act for like I guess.
Where did he go?
Where any good person in recovery goes when they stop doing things.
Wow.
So we had split ways, and a few months down the road, I get not even a phone call. I get a message on Facebook from Matty Donnelly, and I was like, who is this? And I'm reading through the thing, and it's Matt's wife. And Matt had ended up back in treatment, and long story short, like, we got Matt back into a recovery house, and we got him into the swing of things, and our relationship like really blossomed like into something that like I know I personally cherish. Like, he's a dear friend of mine today, and just getting him rooted in recovery, you know what I mean? Like, by surrounding him with people that surrounded me when I first came around, and I've been able to witness somebody's life do a 180. And wow. That's just like some of the things that happen in the rooms of recovery. It's like one of the things that a recovery house provided to the both of us. You know what I mean? Like, they kind of they took us in a totally different direction from what our life was heading in, and it's something to be cherished. In my eyes.
So that's incredible. You guys, you came through the recovery house, and Joey was there. How long before that?
I guess I was out of the recovery house for about 6 months. I had about a year and a half when he came back around.
And what happens after you get out, Joe?
Stay connected.
So you would go back to that house and
absolutely.
Talk to the guy, the new guys coming in? And
absolutely. At the one particular house that I was at, was in the Blue Ridge development of Levittown. Every Monday night they would have a house meeting. And I know what it's like to sit in a house meeting. Like, anybody who hasn't been in one, like, they kind of consist of a lot of moaning and a lot of complaining from grown men. And
like, don't ever visit that place.
And I know what it was like, so.
And you don't have to.
That's right.
So being through the process and knowing what it's like, I wanted to stay connected to let them know that, like, there's light at the end of the tunnel. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So as you guys are talking, I'm thinking, wow, how incredible is that? You were both, like, in the darkest points of your life. You met. You know, you lose touch. You know, Joey comes into recovery, and then your wife reaches out to him on Facebook, and he figures out who you are, and then you connect. That's just an incredible story.
So this is like a vision of hope.
Absolutely.
You know, happening right in front of our eyes. I mean, a couple of guys, you know, I guess getting committed to a structured atmosphere. Because you wanted to learn how to stay clean, you know, so why run back home, you know, kiss and make up, you know, patch things up with the family, you know, then your mom does your wash and does all those responsible things for you, and you don't really have an opportunity to grow up on your own. So do you guys think, like, growing up was a big part of going to the recovery houses, or was it a place that just handled your physical needs?
I believe that the recovery house kind of groomed me into the man that I am today, because it gave me a lot of... It was a structured living environment that, in order to do certain things that somebody of my age, when coming in, felt privileged to, I had to abide by a certain set of rules, which... unbeknownst to me, because I had been living in a disease of addiction, were actually normal things that, like, grown men do, right? So, like, making my bed, doing my laundry, and getting a commitment at a home group, and doing these things, like, they groomed me into the man that I am today.
Yeah, you know, I heard, like, those things you just mentioned, Joey, they're like esteemable acts, doing those little things for yourself. I mean, a lot of people don't look at it that way, but those little things kind of build self-esteem. I mean, you're doing things for yourself, by yourself, not really looking for a reward because you're doing those things. It's sort of like self-satisfying, self-fulfilling. You know what I mean? It's how you pave the road, which you say, to recovery. And, of course, that moves on to bigger and better things. Right, Matt?
Yes. I agree with Joe. Like, I mean, you know, I can remember, like, my first meeting at the recovery house that, you know, the one thing that I asked for, they asked me, well, what did I want to get out of this program? And I said, some structure back in my life. So, like, you know, getting up and, like, making my bed. It's just like I wanted to change, you know what I mean? I was really willing to do anything this time to change. So, you know, like, getting up and brushing my teeth, like, they were things that, like, I didn't do on a daily basis. I had no personal hygiene, you know what I mean? I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't being responsible. And it's showing me how to live today, and I'm still growing today.
Like an unconditional surrender, right, John?
Absolutely.
The war is over? That kind of stuff?
The war is over, Ken.
Mm-hmm. It is over just for today, right?
Yeah. Kenny woke up today, but he don't know the war is over. So tell me about what you did when you got there. Like, in other words, by that I mean, what made that so special that you couldn't do at home? In other words, what is the structure like that you're talking about in a recovery house?
I think, like, you know, there was requirements for me to go in there, which was probably the best thing for me as far as, like, having a home group, having a sponsor, having a commitment, and being involved. And, like, you know, they were the requirements when I came in there. And, you know, coming in hopeless and, like, being, like, told that, like, I have to go to a meeting every day. Like, in the beginning, like, I didn't really want to go every day. And then, like, I seen the hopeless change to hope along the way. You know, and, you know, it's the beginning of a story for me right now.
Same question to you, Joe.
Yeah, the structure had a lot to do with it, with the way that it it kind of forced my hand into action and then really turned it into routine. You know what I mean? It allowed me to ingrain it into my life, but it was more than just a structure, because it kind of went hand in hand with, like, the camaraderie and, like, the companionship that I found within the house of, like, a bunch of people that were in the same situation as me, who were turning their lives around. So it all kind of balled up and really started to shape who I am. And like Matt was saying, it's just like the continuing story.
That's nice. That's a good thing. Again, for our listeners, you're listening to COA Recovery Radio, COA City of Angels. They're a neat organization. They do treatment. They help get people in treatment. The headquarters here has meetings, recovery meetings, and they have all kind of stuff. If you visit us on the web at www.cityofangelsnewjersey.org. That's it. So, yeah, so that's a pretty neat story. You know, a lot of people, you know, I know a lot of people in treatment that want to send people to recovery houses, but they don't want to go. They want to go back home. What would you say to them, Matt?
I think that, you know, being enabled by my family my whole entire life, you know, this has given me the opportunity to grow up and be a man and become responsible. Like I said, I'm still growing. And, you know, I'm a few days shy of 1 year clean. And, you know.
Congratulations. 364 days, he just said.
Actually, it's 362. But
we talked about waking up this morning.
Sorry.
Yeah. This has been an experience for me, you know, and like my recovery is still going on right now. You know, after spending 7 months in a recovery house, and now I've been in a sober house for 4.5 months, And it's the same program that, you know, that I was in the recovery house that led me to the sober house. So I'm trying to become, like, more independent and get out on my own eventually and get back with my family.
Joe, is that your experience? Did you go in a sober house after you spent some time in the recovery house?
I did. I actually had a hiccup in between where
Hiccup? Would you care to describe that, Joe?
My hiccup involved in me getting in a relationship a little too early than what I think I was ready for. And I ended up moving out in with this person, and it was probably by far one of the worst mistakes I've ever made in my recovery. And
Saying playing house didn't work, Joe?
Playing house did not work. Playing house actually pretty much blew up in my face. Not a pleasant experience, to be honest with you. And it was really crazy. It was almost like active addiction with no drugs. You know what I mean?
That's kind of like part of the journey, though, right, John? I mean, you know,
yep, it
making
is.
New mistakes, you know, trial and error. I mean, you know, we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to live our lives. And, you know, it's a lot easier if we're, you know, practicing some kind of recovery process, either in a structured environment or outside. I mean, look, when we go to work, you're working, Matt?
Yes, yes.
You have a job and you yes. interact with people. You have to say good morning and hi, how are you doing? And
yes.
You need anything today? I mean, there's some communication involved, right? I mean, you're not a robot.
Yes.
You know, you're a human being. You have feelings. You have to express yourself. You have to be a part of life. And that's what you guys are talking about. You guys are talking about being in position to live a productive life so you can get back to your family, so you can have a successful relationship. That kind of stuff, which is good stuff. Right, John?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Do you have any experience with that, John?
Do I have any experience with
recovery houses?
Absolutely. I've been
the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, or
depends on who you talk to about that. No, seriously, I was in a recovery house a long time ago in 1988, and I moved to a town called Williamsport, Pennsylvania. It was 3 hours from Philly.
That's where they had the baseball, Little League baseball.
Little League World Series, yep.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Kenny knows all that information about that. So, I went into a recovery house. I didn't know what it was about. I didn't know what to expect. But I went in there, and I didn't have the fortune of having a job at the time, so I made a lot of meetings, and I stayed clean a long time, 20 years. So,
and it all started in a recovery house.
In a recovery house with 20 other guys. We got involved. We did a lot together. We went to meetings together. We went to dances together. We played softball together. We did a lot of good things, and it worked. So, you know, and the structure is what I needed because I was getting high for a long time, and you know, that was actually a solution for me to, I didn't realize I had the disease of addiction back then, so I felt bad and I didn't know why, and the drugs took that away for some time, and then eventually it stopped taking it away, and the pain was magnified, but I didn't have no other way to live because I didn't know any other way to live.
Wow.
How about your experience, Kenneth?
No good. Well, you know, I mean, it's, I guess, hindsight somewhat. And, you know, I always went to recovery houses for the wrong reason. I felt like I had to go, you know, to get people off my back, my family, my mom, my kids, and you know, I was never really committed. Like, you know, my hat's off to you guys because I really lacked that commitment to, or surrender, maybe I should say, would be a better word. I went to a recovery house to hide and recharge my batteries. I mean, that's the truth about my experience. And I was in my first recovery house, I think, around the same time as you, John.
88.
Yeah, 86, 88. I think it was after a long, process of going to rehab and then going home and saying, hey, honey, I'm home. How are the kids? Let's get back into life. Everything will be okay. But I never really felt like I was part of any kind of recovery program. I didn't have structure. I just went home and played house and worked and, you know, started a couple of businesses. And I figured, you know what, that would take care of everything. And it did to a sense. But like you guys were talking about, like feeling fulfilled inside, you know, it's taken me a really long time to kind of find that fulfillment. And up until recently, I mean, I ended up, you know, in a program in Philadelphia. And I think it was no accident. I believe that I was led to the program because of a power working greater than me actually led me to that place. And at that point, I said, you guys, you know what I mean, 35 years later, you know, let me emphasize that a bit, because it hasn't really been, I came to this program and jumped in, and it's been a process of trial and error, same mistakes, insanity, you know, up and down, all around, you know what I mean? Until finally I said what you two guys said a little over a year ago, Matt and Joey, 3 years ago, I'll do whatever it takes. I finally was able to say that. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Offer me some structure. I'll show up and, you know, see what happens instead of just rolling the dice or recharging my batteries or, you know, rebuilding superficial things and maybe I'll be okay. You know, that's not the case today. So, Johnny, I mean, I hate to disappoint you, but I have more experience in recovery houses of what not to do than actually what to do.
Well, you know, sometimes knowing what not to do is equally as good as knowing what to do.
Oh, thank you.
Because if we know what not to do, but that's your experience.
Yes, it is.
So you bring that in, and, you know, we draw on our experience when we face issues in life and recovery, and, you know, we look at it and say, okay, been there, done that, doesn't work. Let me try something different.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it's at this point. I mean, doing things differently like this. I mean, just an opportunity to be in service and talk and share my experience with some people that chances are pretty good that I'll never meet. You know, this is a worldwide, national type, you know, thing that we're on. But, you know, there's hope here. I mean, if you think you can do it by yourself, think again. You know, recovery houses give you an opportunity to get to know some people like you guys did. You know, I have one friend out of 225 people that I was in the program with just a little over a year ago. And I'm grateful to have one friend, you know. And it's funny, like, I'll share this and shut up. I don't want to take up all the time. But I wrote that on my discharge papers, that I just wanted to meet two people that I could go to meetings with and try to build a life in this recovery process. That was a goal for me. It wasn't get back to work and get this and get that and, you know, patch things up with everybody. It was, let me get grounded in this recovery program. And it's worked out so far. So I'm going to keep doing it.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
Well said, Kenny.
So what now, guys? What now? You're in a sober house, you said. Joe, you live at home now?
Yeah, I live back home.
Okay. What now, guys? What happens now? Do you continue to go back to where you, I guess they would call it an alumni of the place?
I've been back to share my experience with the program that I'm still in. You know, I'm considered alumni. You know, and try and help people that are just coming into the program that are, you know, scared, like just not knowing, you know, that are dealing with fear and try to help them, you know.
Just be an example.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you, Joe? I mean, you know.
I mean, I think
the transition.
That, yeah, I think that's kind of what it being an example. I kind of think that's kind of what it turns into after a certain point in time, like about being present and giving back to the people who were just coming in, just like you at one point in time. Mm-hmm. A lot of days, like I've gone to meetings for other people, not for myself. Like I could have used some rest.
Sure.
I was tired from work. But there were other people that were going to be there who I felt like I wanted to be there for them that really drew me to the meeting. Because still to this day, I still have a few sponsees, and I'm still connected with the program that I went through, and I know a lot of the guys in the houses, and I try to keep it that way because I know what it's like to be in that situation. And I know how easy it is for certain people to go awry if they get around the wrong people.
Do you think that was a learned behavior?
I believe that behavior, it definitely was a behavior, but it was almost, it's almost like an obligation. Because what I have today, like the way, for the way that my life has been taken, the path has been taken, it's solely to pretty much to other people. At least that's how it had transpired when I first came into the houses. Because I was gripped up by the right people, introduced to the right people, and that's where I stayed. And it was through their presence how more so than just like the structure or recovery house, I really learned how to live and how to be like a man of my word and like a man of honor. And I try to maintain a presence to the younger guys in recovery, because I was young when I came around. I was 22 when I got clean.
You're still young.
Yeah, I was 22 when I got clean, and I'm about to turn 25, and I know what it's like to be scared and not know what's going on. So I just try to be present just to relay the message, like it gets better, you know what I mean? Like I'm living proof, right? So like I try to maintain a presence within the house. Like I've spoken at a few of the alumni meetings, their celebration meetings, where everybody in the house is in a particular program that I went through, gathers once a month, and everybody celebrates their particular clean time. And I truly view it as an obligation, because like, There's some people that aren't with us today that didn't really have a shot at this. You know what I mean?
So do you think an obligation is a responsibility?
Absolutely.
Okay. There you go, Johnny, for the announcement.
Okay, you're listening to COARadio.com. This is Recovery Radio, and you can find out how to get involved by going to www.cityofangelsnj.org. There's a lot of neat stuff on there. Just, you know, go on and check it out. You could also call in, and if you have any questions or comments for our guest, the number is area code 609-241-7103. We're past the top of the hour, and I'd like to find out from every one of us, you know, where you go from here. Like, what happens when you get out of there? Like, okay, you're back home. You live in a sober house. Is it different from all the structure to less structure? Is that how it's comprised? Like, if you're in a recovery house, how long is the time that you were in there, Matt?
I was there for 7 months.
Okay, so 7 months you live in this structure. You're mandated to meetings, right?
Yes.
Okay. There's certain requirements for your recovery.
Yes.
Right? What happens when you leave there? Now, it's like a step down thing, correct?
I think it's a step down thing. I mean, like, you're required to make seven meetings in 7 days for 30 days. And then after that, you have to make 5 meetings a week. And then once you move to the sober house, you're required to make 3 meetings a week with a mandatory meeting. So, you know, I think even though I'm only required to make 4 meetings a week, sometimes I make 7 meetings a week. You know, I constantly stay involved, you know, and that's just for me. I know when I'm not involved, I know what happens.
So just because you changed your address, you didn't change your style of living, in terms of what you were doing for the things in recovery?
I think that, like, the foundation was beginning in the recovery house, and I think as long as I keep on following this path, you know, staying involved, having a home group, doing step work, you know, talking to my sponsor regularly and hanging with people in recovery, I think this is what I need in my life. You know what I mean? My experience has shown when I don't do them things, I wind up relapsing.
So you see the value. Value's good.
Yes.
Truly. It's almost like reintegration back into society, because, like, I was so being so removed from, like, what my perception of reality was. Like, my perception of reality was, like, getting high every day. And doing a lot of things that come with it. So, like, being clean is like a whole new timetable. Like, it's like reintegrating myself back to what I should have been doing in the first place before, like, my addiction had really taken hold of me. Mm. And, like, that's kind of what the structure of the recovery house then into a sober house does. It ingrains routine and, like, redefines what my life is, because I didn't know what I was doing for so long.
Sounds like good stuff.
Great stuff, yeah. You know, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes I get lost for words. I mean, when I hear these things, and I'm so happy for people, you know, I'm just really proud that you guys decided to come up here and share, you know, your experience, because it's a valuable experience. I mean, because let's face it, you know, when you get the substance out of your system, you know, you think you can kind of handle some things, but we don't really know what's kind of emotional stuff is going to come with that. And we kind of need some time. So I think the whole idea as well with the structured recovery house type living situation is that it gets us to a place where we can become stable. You know, you made it, you know, that's a big word, Joe. We reintegrate was the word. So in other words, what you're saying was, while you were using, you never felt a part of society. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's huge to admit that, you know, that you really weren't a part of something. But in your mind, you may have thought you did, because you had a job, you had somewhere to live, you had a girl, you had a few bucks in your pocket. But what you've been talking about is society as a whole, how we were actually meant to live in society with other people, being productive, being happy, you know, being fulfilled. If it snows, shovel on your neighbor's pavement. Little things like that, other esteemable acts, you know what I mean, which build it up, man. Right, Johnny, you're smiling, man.
Yeah. It's great. It's just your way of saying things. What's your word for the week?
Word for the week is impeccable.
It's time for Nedge's word for the week.
Impeccable.
Everybody got that? His word for the week
is
impeccable. We just started a new thing. We're going to have a word for the week every week on the
show. Can I give a word too, John?
Well, that's already. You're not a co-host. You have to call in again.
Yeah, don't rain on my parade, man. Come on, man. You know what I mean?
So tell us a little bit about how you arrived at that word, impeccable.
Oh, man, impeccable. What a great word. I mean, you know.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and I actually looked it up, John. And, you know, impeccable, I mean flawless. You know, not that, you know, I'm flawless at all, because I'm far from it. But I think realizing that I'm flawless, flawful or whatever, I make mistakes. I mean, I live my life, I make mistakes, I don't beat myself up, because the recovery process is about making new mistakes. You know, the insanity of the recovery process is making the same old mistake. You know, and let me tell you something, I've done things twice just to make sure they wouldn't work, you know what I mean? You know, like people would tell me, like, nah, you shouldn't do that, and I'm like, well, I'm going to do it a different way. Well, it didn't work that way either. You know, so, I mean, impeccable. I mean, I can't even put another word on it. I mean, that's how powerful that word is, impeccable.
I always thought you had to be very intelligent to use that word, because I heard it a lot throughout my life, but I never knew what it meant. You know, when you're out there getting high, you don't have a dictionary handy. You know?
No, Webster's, who's he? Yeah, but it's all good. at the end of the day, during the day. So what else, guys? I mean, you know, what can we tell some people out there, you know? If you think about it, you shouldn't do it. If you think about it, you should do it. I mean, should you?
If you're thinking about it, you absolutely should. If you even have an inclination that you might have a problem, you probably do have a problem.
Wow.
Bold statement.
Real bold.
Yeah, because why would
I had the rock in my chair there.
You know, I read something one time when it said, control is impossible the moment it is suggested. It's like Joey just said. How does that come up if you don't have a problem? If you think you do, you probably do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It took me years to, you know, figure that out. I just thought the problem was the substance I was using. Wasn't me.
No, of course not.
Then I found out when I got clean that it wasn't what I was using, it was me.
And so it was just a symptom.
Exactly. Wow. Symptom of the disease of addiction. And it's the most obvious one. Because you'll be sitting in a meeting and you see people, and if you see a guy or a girl who's high, you know what's going on. But when you see someone acting out on these character defects that we have, hardly anybody ever says, well, that's the disease of addiction. They say, oh, this guy's this or he's that. You know what I mean? Think about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, even, you know, people pass away from the disease of addiction, but I've never seen it written on a death certificate. You know, car accident, heart attack, suicide, you know, whatever. But, you know, if you really want to think about the disease, I mean, that's how powerful it is. You know, and you can get it arrested. And hope can become possible if you hitch your wagon to a recovery house. I mean, jump in. You know, take yourself out of that fast-paced lifestyle, one of chaos and insanity and fear, and go into a recovery house and say, hey, maybe I'll give myself a shot.
It was always said to me that if you don't like where you're at within 90 days, you don't have to stay.
I've heard that before.
You can give it right back. We'll refund it.
Refund your misery.
Wow. Yeah. Things might have been different if I was listening 35 years ago. You know, I didn't thought
they might have been, but again, it's your collective experience that brought you to where you are now. Because I believe that the most precious moment in time that we have is right now.
This moment.
This. Yeah, right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, we came in here, you know what I mean? We were happy to be here. You know, we're together. You know, they asked us if we wanted a few bottles of water. There's chocolate chip cookies on the table. You know, and all we're doing is we're sitting here having a conversation about some things that are important. It's a matter of life or death.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And unfortunately, it's up to you. Nobody can do it for you. You know, all you have to do is make that phone call to 609-241-7103, walk through that door, and say, hey, whatever it takes, maybe you guys can help me because I'm tired of feeling this way. Because that's what you guys did. You know what I mean? The gift of desperation. It's become a miracle. You know, eyes wide open now. You know what I mean? Having a conversation. You know, coming up on a year, I mean, that's huge. You know, 365 days clean is huge. Remember when you couldn't get a minute?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, how did that feel? I mean, you should always remember how that felt.
I mean,
the
process flows into so many different facets of your life. It's kind of staggering because people that I've met within this last, like, 2.5 years, right, more specifically people that I met in my time that I spent at a recovery house and I'm following suit with a sober house, became, like, lifelong friends. Like, people that I could call at the drop of a dime if I needed help, and I know they would be there. And that's one of the things that's, it's just, like, so many things. Like, because in recovery, they always talk about it's been my experience that there's one promise and that there's many gifts. The one promise being freedom, and then everything that comes along with it, every other positive, is just it's just the gifts that come with recovery. And one of those more valuable ones that I hold dear is the friendships that I've been able to attain and maintain, that I've learned to maintain. And they're invaluable, because they're not like – because like in the crowds that I used to run with, it was strictly business, if that makes any sense. Like, it was strictly business. Like, we were all out for number one. We were the best of friends as long as we had something to offer to each other. So coming into this program, like, you get close to people who are sharing a common denominator of what's going on in their lives and things that they're trying to improve on in their life, right? So it's something that not everybody shares. Like, it's something that other people, like, who don't haven't experienced certain things that the people in the world of addiction and alcoholism have experienced, but that's the bind that ties us all together.
Right.
It's like the common denominator, and it's what we all have in common. And like a good friend of mine always says, like, living two lifetimes in one lifetime, right? So it's like like, at least for me, right? Like, I'm able to appreciate things just a little bit more than somebody else, because I know what it's like not to have it. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what it's like to wake up in sheer agony for something that's about as big as my fingernail.
So you're saying, like, active addiction took everything away from you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it robbed me of my choice. Like, it brought me to a point where I didn't have a choice. There was just action. There was just action in what I was going to do when I woke up and what I was going to do before I went to sleep. And coming into a recovery house really changed that. Like, it turned that, like I said about ingraining routine, mm-hmm. it really did the same thing. Like, now it's not just like it's routine. It's just action. It's nature. It's just the way that I'm programmed. Like, I go to a meeting almost every day. Two and a half years later. Yeah, I used every
That's
day.
Simple.
I always take, and like you said about living in a different area code, like, I always took myself with myself. So just because I was out of Philadelphia did not mean I was not going to get high.
Right.
So whether I'm in Philadelphia or I'm outside of Philadelphia, I'm going to be in recovery, and I'm probably going to be with somebody in recovery, and I'm always going to maintain that network, because it's just the transformation of my life is unprecedented.
Yeah, so recovery's become a lifestyle. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Truly.
Because, you know, I mean, wherever you go, you know, your head's with you. And these things that happened, and the foundation building stuff that happened inside a structured atmosphere, like a recovery house or a sober house, whatever word you want to use, it's a house of men, women, growing in recovery. Mm-hmm. Sticking together, becoming unified, and saying, hey, you want to go to a meeting tonight? Hey, you want to watch the show? Hey, you want to listen to COAradio.com?
Johnny Rags and Kenny McDonald.
You know, clean and sober, right, Johnny? What do you think, man?
Absolutely. I love it. I'm excited about it. I think we're reaching people, and, you know, friends of mine that have heard the show had nothing but great things to say about it. A couple of our friends texted me, great job, they loved it. So, you know, that's the point of this show, to reach people, let them know about that this is available. You know, Recovery House is this great organization, City of Angels. There are some people that might not know about it. So the show is designed for awareness, to help people, you know,
absolutely,
find out where to get help if they need it, because we talked about it. It's a deadly disease. Mm-hmm. It kills. I myself have seen many, 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 too many people die from this disease. You know, they talk about the horrors of addiction. I've seen the horrors of addiction. And, you know, I think we're getting a call.
Somebody's listening. COA, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Johnny Bags?
What's going on, baby?
It's Terrence. What's up, brother?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well, my friend.
I know that's right.
you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, so I had a question. I wanted to, you know, I know when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, it was very important for me to get right into the step process. So I just want you to answer the question on why it's very important to get involved in the step process right away. And what are the principles behind that?
Wow, that's a two-fold question. Yeah, Joe, you want to start it off, man? Give our caller a good positive answer.
It's the defense from the disease of addiction.
Defense. So, in other words, we need a defense.
Yeah, absolutely. In my eyes, it's the only defense that I have from the insanity of my own mind. And in order to keep that process, it requires open-mindedness, willingness, spiritual principles that we talk about in this program. Because that's what it all boils down to.
Things that you didn't practice when you were actively using, I'm sure.
Right. I mean, about as spiritual as you can get in a bag of dope. You know what I mean?
What do you think about that answer, T?
Yo.
Yo.
Yo. Say something, John. Tell me to say hello, John. Yo, Rag.
Yo.
John Henry, what's up, bud?
Hey, what's up, my brother?
Hey, first time listener, first time caller.
Oh, welcome to the show.
I just wanted to call and say hello, number one, and to wish you guys much success.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks for calling in.
It's a good thing what you're doing. We need more people like you doing this.
Well, I'll have you on soon, my friend.
I would love to come on.
I would love to come on. Kenny and I would love to have you, my friend.
That's right, John. Awesome. I'm glad you're feeling better, John.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Love you, John. Keep you. Good, please.
Love you guys, too.
Have a good night, guys.
Well, look, let's just piggyback off that question, man.
That was an excellent question.
Excellent. I mean, you know, I think we would need to extend our time to really fully answer that question.
Agreed.
I mean, when you think about the three things Joey said about principles, you know, and practicing principles as a defense to this disease that would prefer us not to be here. Day in and day out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Now, see, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Guys, people in recovery excited about the show, excited about recovery, excited about what we do here.
Right.
It's just incredible the people that have heard the show and just absolutely love it. And, you know, we bring it to people because of, you know, when Kenny and I talked about doing this with Kevin, it was just like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm thinking, I don't know how to do no radio show. But, you know, just being in recovery and sharing my experience was, like, just unbelievable that, number one, Kevin would offer me something this great. I mean, I think this is great.
Me too.
When I get up on Monday mornings, I'm excited. I think about the show. Kenny and I talk about it all week, about who our guests are, you know, what we're going to ask them, how good the show's going to be. So I'm really excited, and we're going to get more and more listeners because we're reaching out to more and more people,
yeah.
And we're reaching a lot of people. And they're going to know what City of Angels does, and City of Angels is going to be, you know, inundated with people, volunteers. They need volunteers, too. Nobody gets paid here. It's all peers. So, again, www.cityofangelsnj.org to find out how to help. And I'm telling you, it's a real neat stuff that they do.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said, Johnny. I mean, it actually prompted me to ask a question because listening really isn't a part of addiction. You know, I mean, very, very difficult to listen. Like, you know, what you say, Matt, I mean, like, when you walk through, you know, your process of coming to the recovery house, were you really listening, or did you just really have an idea of, you know what, maybe I should give this a try? Can you help me listen? Can you tell me what to do? Do you have any suggestions for me?
I think, you know, it was my experience was a little different because, like, I used fear of, like, you know, thinking that, like, I could have hurt someone, and then my addiction, which my fear became willingness, and my willingness to, like, do anything. And I think the biggest step for me was, you know, telling another man that I didn't know how to live. And I told that to my sponsor who's sitting here with me today. And I think that's where the change began. You know, for me, you know, and then, you know, I surrounded myself around people that were in recovery and, you know, people that were working some steps in their lives and had a program in their life. And, you know, I've been doing it ever since. And here I am almost coming up on a year.
Good. I'm happy for you. What do you think, Jason?
I mean, if I had just only a few things to say, it would just be a give it a shot.
You know, give it a shot.
Like, what's the worst that could happen? You end up loving your life? Your life changes?
Wow. That sounds pretty simple to me.
Real simple. Simple question. All right, we've reached the part of the show where I want to ask both my guests. First, I want to thank Matt and Joe for coming out tonight.
Thanks for inviting us.
It's an honor to be here, guys.
It's my honor indeed, and I want to thank my co-host, Kenny.
You're welcome,
my
Kenny.
Great engineer, Danny.
You're welcome.
He's doing
Kenny.
A great
Way
job.
To go, Danny, man. Thanks, Danny.
Now, I want
to
Thanks ask you guys out. One word. If you had to describe in one word how your life is today as a result of your involvement in your recovery via the Recovery House process, what would it be?
You can't use the word impeccable.
Yeah, really? Forget impeccable. That's the word for, word of the week.
I think mine's would be unbelievable.
Joseph?
You almost stumped me on that one, John, but...
That's what I'm supposed to do.
It's hard for me to even put it into one word, to be honest with you, but it's incredible.
Incredible.
It
like
is
that.
Incredible.
Incredible, unbelievable.
Ken, any parting words?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have a stellar life.
Stellar?
Life.
Ooh.
You just maybe, showed your age with that.
Maybe
one.
That'll be our word for next week.
Could be, you never know. But I think I'll find a new one, John. I mean, you know, things yeah. just come to me while I'm, you know, driving
Absolutely.
To work. I have somewhat of a commute or, you know, even a lot of days, too. Sometimes I do my best thinking in the shower. You know, it seems to be a place of solitude and confinement and total relaxation. And, you know, you never know when, you know, certain things are put into your head. You know what I mean? Because I'm truly heartfelt about being a part of this show with my friends and, you know, people that I trust my life with. And that didn't happen overnight. I mean, it's been a process for that happening. Of course, you want to think that, oh, it'll happen, you know, I deserve it and all that. But, you know, honestly speaking, it just happened. I let this program work in my life. I did a few things in terms of surrendering and giving up because I was broken. And it's great being here. Hopefully, you know, there's someone out there that... you know, heard something that might help them get through the night and maybe seek some help now. You know, there's no time like the present, right, John?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I tried stopping Absolutely. For a long time, and I kept telling myself day in and day out, I'll stop tomorrow, I'll go somewhere tomorrow. Tomorrow never came, you know. It's just a great life. It's stellar.
Stellar.
Okay. That'll about wrap up our show. I wanted to give you a couple more shout-outs. One, to listen to the show, www.coaradio.com, and to get involved with City of Angels, www.cityofangelsnj.org. And you can reach me on my email if you want to comment about the show or say anything. It's john@stepbystephouses.com. We have a great show lined up for next week. It's two great people that I love. You're going to love the show next week. Of course, we'll all have our other feature, the Word of the Week. with Ken McDonald, my dynamic co-host. Again, I want to thank my engineer, Danny. He's great. He does the greatest job I could ever imagine. And our lovely producer, Allison. So until next week, stay in recovery.